We saw this morning as we looked at Genesis chapter 17 that as we go systematically through the Word of God, it causes us to confront ourselves with parts of God's Word that perhaps we might not ordinarily choose to consider. And as we come to Mark's Gospel in chapter 4, we also see that going through the Word of God systematically causes us to consider again passages of the Word that we might think we know so well we've nothing new to learn, when in fact often it's these most simple and straightforward of passages that have so much to say and that we need to keep going back to and reminding ourselves of. Now, for those of you that are here this morning, you'll know that the message this morning was quite lengthy and at times covered some quite deep truth. I have to admit, I had only the normal number of pages that I ever have for a sermon, but my notes this morning were a bit like my aftershave gel. You start off with a small amount, and as you rub it on, it grows and grows. And that seemed to happen this morning a little bit, but I promise that won't happen this evening as we come to Mark's Gospel and chapter 4. Please have that open before you, if you can. And I want to take us through this part of God's Word with three simple headings. First of all, I want to consider with you the purpose of parables. Now, this is a very useful part of God's Word, of course, because not only does the Lord Jesus, first of all, give us the parable, he then immediately gives us the meaning of it. And so I'm going to be concentrating primarily on the second half of that reading and actually go through the parable with the explanation that Jesus gives. Note, first of all, the contrast between verse 1 and verse 10. In verse 1, he's with a great multitude again. Pointed that out last week. These great throngs of people that gathered to see and hear Jesus. But in verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. A much smaller number of people involved here. And one of the things that will come out as we go through this parable together is to see that although many people flocked to Jesus, comparatively few who actually understood and accepted and had their lives changed by the things that he was teaching. Comparatively few are now present. And Jesus says in verse 11, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." So this parable is going to tell us something about the kingdom of God. Well, if you're in the kingdom of God, that's always good to know. And I want you to see that it's something given to them. This truth that God is revealing through this parable, and as he explains it and opens it to these men and possibly women as well, it's not something that sinful men and women can work out for themselves. They need the work of God's Spirit within. This is not something that they have taken for themselves. This is not something that they've worked out for themselves. This is something which has been given to them, that they might know this truth. And if you're a Christian, that's true of you. God, in his grace, has given you knowledge and understanding of the gospel in a way that so many people just do not have. And to you, it becomes something so obvious and so simple. And you get so frustrated that other people cannot understand that which seems so obvious. But it's because God has done a great work of grace within you. And even the simple ability of understanding the gospel is a great gift that God has given you. And we must never forget it. To those in whom the Spirit does not do that work, well, they understand the parable as a story, but they don't understand and they cannot grasp the spiritual truth which lies behind them. That's what Jesus is saying in verses 11 and 12. And in verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" This parable, says Jesus, is the most basic, the most important parable for you to understand. If you cannot grasp this one, you'll never understand any of the others. We must understand this parable, says Jesus. And we won't be able to make any further progress in our Christian life until we do. And Jesus says that this parable is all about the kingdom of God. To you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So this parable is going to help to explain something important that you need to know about the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Well, let me say first of all, the kingdom of God is not a place, but a people. All who live under the government of God. Do you remember the phrase that we saw this morning in Genesis chapter 17, where God said to Abraham that he's establishing this covenant with him to be God to you. To be God to you. Not just that you will know that there is a God. Many people will acknowledge that there is a God, but that is not enough. I am making this covenant, says God to Abraham, so that I may be God to you. There's a connection between us. There's a relationship established between us by this covenant. What is the kingdom of God? It's those people who recognize that God has to be God to me. Is that you? Is that how you live your life? Whenever you think of God, you acknowledge that He is the one who every moment of every day, in all your thoughts, in all your words, in all your actions, is being God to you. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, you see, is not a place, it's an attitude. It's an acceptance of God's authority, and it's a willing submission to it. That's the kingdom of God. So you see, it's not enough to associate with Christians. It's not enough to be in the same place as them, gathering with them. Are you in submission daily to the authority and the word of God? Is he being God to you? And that's the purpose of this parable, to help us understand something of what it means to have God being God to us. Now, the second thing that I want to point out from this parable is verse 14. The sower sows the word. And I want to say this. This tells us what spiritual work is. What spiritual work is. Spiritual work is sowing the word of God. Now, any activity that we indulge in, either as individual believers or as a church together, if that activity does not include, if that activity does not result in the sowing of the word, we will really struggle to consider that work to be a spiritual work. The sower goes out to sow. We are to be sowers of the word. Now, we're not all going to be preachers in the way that I'm doing now. We're not all going to be preachers in the way that some people stand on the street corner and proclaim the gospel. But we can all be sowers of the word. We can all, by our word and our deeds, give people, make people aware of the word of God. You see, the greatest need that people have is not nice platitudes. It's the word of God. Because there is only one thing that will bring people to repentance, and that is the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the power of God to salvation. And so we are to be sowers of the word. You might not be a preacher in the way that people think about it, but you can be a sower of the word. And together, in all the activity that we undertake as a church, it must, to be a spiritual work, directly or indirectly, bring the word of God to people's lives and to their heart and to their thinking. The sower went out to sow. Now, when you sow a seed, why do you do it? Well, of course, you want the seed to grow. You want that seed to reproduce. You want the seed to germinate. You want that seed to reproduce itself. You want the seed to produce more seed. The word is designed to reproduce itself in the life of a Christian. And in unbelievers, when it first takes root, it brings newness of life, along with the power of the Holy Spirit. It is only the sower's job to sow. The increase is with God. There is a season for sowing. If you delay, the time for sowing may have been missed. And so perhaps there are people who we have contact with at the moment, and that contact may be for a limited time. You may know what that time is. Perhaps you're in some circumstance and you're currently in touch with a certain group of people. Maybe it's people who you're studying with, people who you're living with, people who you're working with. And you know full well that that time will come to an end. Well, if that's the case, you're currently in a season for sowing. And that season will soon be over. We need to sow the word. Do you sow the word, parents, in your children? If you're a parent, do you make sure that your children regularly come into contact with the Word of God? Do you regularly put the Word of God into your children that the seeds might be sown? Do you sow the Word amongst your unbelieving family, your colleagues at work? The sower went out to sow. We are to be sowers of seed. That is true spiritual work. That the word of God might do its work in the life of the unbeliever. The sower went out to sow. Be a sower. Now, thirdly, receiving the word. This will take just a little bit longer than the other 2 points. I've got four sections because there are four responses. And I want us to just consider receiving the word in verses 15 to 20. So Jesus has explained the sower in his field. He's describing, of course, the way sowing took place in New Testament days. The ploughing has been done. A pair of oxen pulling a wooden plough. The field has been prepared and the sower is ready to sow. And of course, he doesn't have all the precision instruments of a modern day farmer. And so he would usually have in front of him a huge bag full of seed. And if it was a reasonable sized field, he would walk down the field, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. And he would make his way up the length of the field, turn around, move over a yard or two, back he would come again, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, sowing the seed. Fairly indiscriminate where the seed is going to land. It's not a precision job. You get the seed wherever you can, sowing the seed. And of course, Jesus explains these four different things that can happen to the seed as it lands. And we look at that now. As he was telling the parable, he talked about the seed that fell by the wayside in verse 4. And then in verse 15, he explains what he means by that. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here's the sower. It's been a long day. He's had a big field to sow. The work is done. Now it's time for him to go home. And of course, the last thing he wants to do is walk across the middle of his newly sown field. So he'll make his way around the path, around the edge of the field. And as he walks along the path, he looks and he notices that as he makes his way along, all the seed that all during the course of that day had fallen on the path, it's all gone. The path is completely clear. There's just nothing left of the seed that was put down. All the birds have come down, and almost as quickly as it was thrown, he's probably only a few paces away, and behind his back, down come the birds, and the seed is gone. And there is absolutely no trace of the seed. It's as if it was never there. And Jesus said, when you sow the seed of God's word, you will get that reaction from some people. And you can give them the word of God, and you can give them the word of God, and you can give them the word of God, and it has no impact upon them whatsoever. And they will walk away from you, and it's as good as if they've never heard it. It just doesn't go anywhere. No impact at all. And these are helpful lessons for us, because if we understand what the kingdom of God is like, and if we understand what spiritual work involves, then we will do it better. We will do it faithfully. We will do it determinedly. And we won't give up after a month because nothing seems to be happening. Because we understand that this is what the Lord Jesus himself said you are to expect will happen. Some of you might have had this experience with loved ones, people who are dear to you. And for years you've prayed. You must keep on praying. And for years you've given them the word. And it just seems as though, well, it's as if they've never had it at all. It's just never had an impact in them. Well, you keep on praying. You keep on sowing. That the Lord will be gracious. That the Lord will answer. But this is the work that God has called us to. Sowers of the seed. Sowers of the word. Some of the seed, secondly, falls on stony ground. Immediately falling away after some difficulty crops up. I can remember when I was at school, when I came to the end of fifth year, and I've just finished my O-levels, which to those of you who need that in the new language, that's when you just finished your GCSEs at the end of year 11, same time. I had a friend called Stephen, and whilst most of my friends, like me, were planning on returning to sixth form to do some A-levels, Stephen, for several years, had been absolutely certain that as soon as he could, he was leaving school and he was off to join the army. It's all he'd wanted to do for several years. And school finished, O-levels finished, and Stephen said, I'm off, and he was joining the army in a couple of weeks' time. Well, come September, I rolled up for sixth form. All the friends that I'd expected to see were there. And most of the friends I'd expected not to see were not there. And Stephen wasn't there. We weren't expecting him. But the following Monday, walked into our form room, and there's Stephen. Uniform on. Bag next to him. What are you doing here? Oh, I had no idea it was going to be like that. And he'd only lasted 3 weeks of basic training and he was off. And he was back in school. Jesus said some of the seed will fall on stony ground. And some people initially will take it up and they'll be full of it. Just like my mate Stephen was to get in the army. He just couldn't wait to get there. But as soon as the first difficulty arrives, as soon as they suddenly realise that this being a Christian, it really quite isn't what I thought it was going to be, they're nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. Jesus said, you must expect that. And you know, these things that Christ is telling us about, these are often not easy things. Because very often, these will be people who we know quite well. It bring great sadness and difficulty to us. But this is the work in the kingdom of God. Being a sower in the days of Christ was not an easy job. It was hard toil. It was hard work. It was a hard slog. And we need to realize that being a Christian can be hard work. It can mean hard toil. It can be a real slog at times, can't it? But we're to keep on. Keep on sowing the seed. And then in the next few verses, verses 18 and 19, Jesus explains the seed that is sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enters in and chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, this choking and strangling process, this can take a long time. This can take a very long time. You can be a Christian and get baptized, and the strangling and the choking has only just begun. You can be a Christian and get baptized and become a church member, and the strangling and the choking has only just begun. You can have been a church member for 10 years. But little by little, the strangling and the choking is taking place. You young ones, you teenagers, you are growing up towards a point in your lives where you will find you are increasingly under peer pressure to conform to all kinds of things that will choke the word of God out of you. You'll have friends who expect you to join in the kind of social things that they do. And every time you do, it will be one more grip of the thorn around you. And if you allow it to happen, it will begin to strangle you, and it will choke the word out of you. Some of you are students at university, and perhaps there the pressures get even worse. You're living in the thick of it. You can't even escape to home to get away from it. It's all around you. And the pressure gets even stronger. All the things that you're expected to do, all the things that you're expected to join in with, all the things that the crowd wants you to be part of. And God's word warns you that if you join in, little by little, it will choke you and it will strangle the word out of you. Perhaps you're new to employment and all of a sudden you've got all this money in your bank account that you never had before. And guess what? You can spend it all and next month they put more in. And it's great. And you perhaps look up to those older colleagues and you perhaps aspire to the positions that they hold. and you perhaps look at the company car that they drive, and you see the lifestyle that they enjoy, and you just can't help it, inside there's something in you that says, I fancy a bit of that. Be careful. Because the Lord Jesus said, if you're not careful, it will strangle the word out of you. Some of you are parents. And as your children grow, and as they start to make all kinds of demands upon you, it can be very, very easy to give in to those demands, just to make life easy. Perhaps they will develop hobbies, interests, pastimes, sport. Mum, Dad, why can't I play football on Sunday? Why can't I play football on Sunday? Why can't I? And on it goes. You need to heed the warning of Christ, your Saviour, the one who is the Word. You start to give in to the things of the world, it's just one more little stranglehold on the Word of God. You see, the danger for us all is that we allow ourselves to put things in our lives that take a higher priority over those things that ought to be the priority as a Christian believer. And so we look in God's Word and we can see all that it says about what is necessary, the role that we should play as part of the body of Christ, the importance of daily personal discipline as a Christian. The fact that as a Christian, you should be an active, giving member of the local church. That you should be actively involved, seeking to put your gifts to good use for the building up of all of God's people. That the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. And any time you allow something else to have a higher priority than all of those things that God lays before you as your duty and your responsibility as a Christian believer, every time you give in, it is one more stranglehold on your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that if it continues, it will choke the word. And it becomes completely unfruitful. Please, please heed the word of God. As one charged over your soul, heed the word of God. There's good ground. Good ground. The seed lands, and it does what it's meant to do. It reproduces itself, and it bears fruit. Now, please bear in mind, it won't all bear the same fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. There is no condemnation whatsoever by Christ for those who only bear the 30. That is good soil. That is what the word is meant to do. There is no special place of elevation for those who bear the 100. It's doing what God has given it to do. Bear fruit. We're to be sowers of the word. And for those of us in whom that seed has taken root, for those of us in whom the Word of God has taken a fix in our hearts, were to be fruitful. Fruitful. And we're to expect that sometimes we'll see a seed that's sown producing more fruit than the one who sowed it. We praise God when that happens. Pray God that we'll see lots of that in this local church. Seeds bearing much fruit. Seeds planted bearing more fruit than the person that planted it. This is the kingdom of God. We're sinful men and women, young people, live under the government and the authority of God. Sinful men and women who humbly bow before Him, they acknowledge their sin, and they just say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me in Christ, and just be God to me. Will that be you? And Lord, just help me wherever I go, in whatever small way I can. Lord, I might not even find the courage to speak, but I've got a little tract, I've got a little book. I can just give it to someone, urge them to read it. It'll do you good, feed your soul on this, that God's kingdom might grow, that Christ will build His church, and that He will find you and I faithful in the task that He's called us to, sowers of the word, bearing fruit. May the Lord help us all to do and be what God requires of us in this place.